Glad tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I remember many, many years ago when I stood on the hills outside of Bethlehem and I gave that great story, that great announcement to the shepherds of Bethlehem. It was a most wonderful night. And after I told the shepherds that good news about peace coming to earth and they would find it in a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, God sent down all of heaven's angels to be with me. And we praised him and we said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth upon those upon whom God's favour rests. Yes, I am Gabriel. I am an angel. I am a leading angel. They call me an archangel. There are more than just me as an archangel. There are in fact three of us, but there are only two of us in heaven. My name Gabriel means mighty man of God, messenger of God, and also God is my master, and I am all of these. God is my master. I am a mighty man of God. And I am not just a messenger of God, I am the messenger of God. Because you see, I stand in the presence of God day and night. And when God has a message for me to bring to people on the earth, he sends me out to do it. Next to Jesus, I am God's right-hand man. There's a number of things I've done over the years for God. He sent me to help Moses and Aaron the night of the Passover. I was actually the angel of death that passed over the houses of the Israelites and slew the firstborn of the Egyptians. You see, Pharaoh had the audacity to try and take on God and his authority. But God's authority had to be made known. There was another occasion when God, the other archangel Michael, and myself went to visit Abraham and Sarah. We had good news to give to Abraham and Sarah. In their old age, they were going to bear a son. And it would be from this son that the line of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come. Now, we left God with Abraham, and Michael and I headed over into Gomorrah and Sodom. We were in lots and lots of trouble there. But a good man named Lot took us in, rescued us and gave us shelter. Lot was such a good man that we decided that we would send him out of Sodom. And after we got him safely out, we rained down fire and sulfur and brimstone from heaven and we wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. Those places were such cesspools, they polluted the face of the earth. But God didn't always send me to judge. In the Old Testament, there was a great prophet of his name was Daniel. And when he was in captive slavery in Babylon, he was having dreams and visions, so God sent me to tell him the interpretations of the dreams and the visions so he could pass them on to the king. So it was me who has always done the Father's bidding, and it was Michael, the other archangel, who does the bidding of the Holy Spirit. As such, Michael is the protector of the people of God here on this earth. He is often at war with Satan here on this earth. Now, you know him as Satan, but I know him better as Lucifer. He was an archangel like me and Michael. His role was actually to do the bidding of Jesus. But he didn't want to do the bidding of Jesus. He wanted to be Jesus. He wanted to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wanted to have all the glory for himself. You see, his name means light bearer or light bringer. He did have the light, but he wanted all the light. But he could not have that because it belonged to Jesus. And as a result, there was war in heaven. And Lucifer and one third of the angels of heaven who were on his side were booted out of heaven and sent down to earth. And so Lucifer set about on this earth to do all that he could to cause trouble for God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He tempted Adam and Eve, who were God's firstborn children, into sinning against God, into rebelling against God. And as a result, sin entered into the world, death entered into the world, and Lucifer gained control of the world. All that God had planned for creation and for humanity was destroyed. It all fell apart. And so God had to boot Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. He couldn't stay with them anymore because his holiness would have destroyed them. You see, they lost their God-given purpose. That which they were created for was destroyed. So when it was the right time for God to do something about this rule of Satan, about sin and about death, he decided that first of all, he would send me. And he sent me to two very special people on the earth. Firstly, he sent me to a priest named Zechariah, who had been chosen to burn incense in the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Jerusalem. Now, there was nothing special about Zechariah that he was actually doing that. In fact, he drew the short straw, because none of the priests of God wanted to go into the Holy of Holies behind the big curtain in the temple to burn incense, because you were alone there with God. And if you had any sin on your body, whack, that was the end of you. So nobody actually queued up amongst the priests to want to go behind the Holy of Holies to burn incense. Well, when Zechariah was standing in the Holy of Holies burning the incense, I appeared to him and told him that even though his wife Elizabeth is old and barren, she was going to give birth to a son, and they would call his name John, because he was going to be the new Elijah, the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. But Zechariah didn't believe me. He thought that that would be impossible. So you know what I did, don't you? I made him not able to speak until John was born. But when he went home and Sarah fell, and his wife Elizabeth fell pregnant, she gave God all the glory because she knew it was God. She said, "The Lord has done this for me, and these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." And so the stage was set then for the birth of the Messiah, our Saviour. God sent me to Nazareth to a young virgin girl whose name was Mary. And I went up to Mary and I said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Well, she thought like Zechariah that she was going to cop it in the neck, but I didn't. I calmed her down and told her that she was highly favoured of God because she was engaged to Joseph, that she was drawn into then David's line from which the Messiah would come. I declared to her that she had been chosen to bear the Messiah. Now, it was every young girl's Jewish girl's dream to be the mother of the Messiah. And for Mary, it was to become a dream come true. But she was a smart girl and she said to me, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And I told her that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and do a miracle in her womb, and she would become pregnant while still being a virgin. And I declared to her that what I was saying was true, because if she looks into it, she'll discover that her cousin Elizabeth, who was said to be old and barren, is now with child. As I said to her, nothing is impossible with God. Well, unlike Zechariah, Mary never doubted, she just believed. And she said to me, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. And so it was that Jesus was conceived in her womb. He was truly God and he was truly human. It's hard to understand, but it's true. You see, in order for that Jesus could be the Saviour, he had to be truly God and truly human, so that he could deal with the reign of Lucifer on this earth, so that he could deal with sin, and so that he could deal with the problem of death and separation from God. The Saviour had to be the one who was God, because only God can deal with the sin of humanity. And he does that by forgiveness. And he had to be truly human, because only humans sin, and only a human could carry the weight of sin. And so Jesus, being fully God and fully human, took the sin of humanity to the cross, and he died. And he rose again. He took all that punishment that was to be the sin of humanity. And because he took it all upon himself as a human, as God, he was able to forgive it all and declare that humanity was free. Because he was born as Saviour of all humanity, through him, there is now peace on earth, meaning peace between God and earth, between heaven and earth, and between God and people on this earth. When Jesus was born as Saviour, the division between God and his people was as good as closed. By his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus had taken care of the fallen condition of humanity, and through him all things would be restored to God. And so there's now peace between God and his people upon whom his favour rests. And that means those who are actually able to see and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Saviour, and that he is the one who has died for their sin, and by faith take hold of all of the blessings of his birth, life, death, and resurrection, and live life to the fullness here on this earth and then in heaven with him forever and ever. Dear people, on this Christmas day, have you this peace? Have you this favour in your life? Have you faith? Because by faith, all of the blessings of Christmas are yours to receive. It's God's Christmas gift to you today. It's not only God's Christmas gift for you today, it's God's Christmas gift for you every day of your life that you have left to live on this earth. So take this gift. It's a wonderful gift, because I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For to you, this day in the city of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Well, I look forward to seeing you all in heaven one day. When it comes Christmas Day, we really have a great party up there. You think you're going to enjoy today with your chicken and your beer and your turkey and your ham and your presents, but wait till you get up here with us. You're going to have a wonderful time. Must be off now. Gloria. So, to the children's Christmas message, I'll just get it up here. So, if we've got kids who are sitting up the back, if you'd like to come a bit closer to the front, I'll come over here and you can sit here and you'll be able to see what I'm doing this morning for the kids' talk. This morning I want to tell you the story of the chocolate Christmas. You all like chocolate, don't you? Okay. Well, this morning is the story of the chocolate Christmas. Well, Joseph and Mary lived in the town of Nazareth a little over 2,000 years ago. And Joseph and Mary were going to be married when they found out Mary was pregnant. This really worried Joseph. He was going to leave Mary, but one night as he slept, an angel came to him in a dream. Joseph, this is a curly-whirly one, but don't leave Mary. The child that she is to bear was put in her by God. She is a good and faithful woman. You will have a son and you will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So on the morrow, when Joseph got out of bed, he went and took Mary as his wife. But there was bad news. Mary was near giving birth and the Roman king demanded that they go to their hometown of Bethlehem to be counted as a part of the census, to find out how many people there were living in Israel. Well, Mary and Joseph had to travel on a rocky road to Bethlehem. And Mary got tired, so Joseph put her on the back of a donkey, and that donkey had a curly-whirly tail, and made him carry her. Eventually, they got tired, so Joseph decided that they would take some time out. And by the side of the road, he pulled out some food and drink and they had a picnic. Well, when they eventually arrived at Bethlehem, there were some shepherds watching their sheep. Being the middle of winter, the grass was very crunchy under their feet. And as they were looking up in the sky, they could see all of the stars of the Milky Way. And as they were looking at the stars, they were kind of surprised to see an angel tell them that on the day a Saviour was born to all people in Bethlehem, and he would be Christ the Lord, God's promised King, and he would save people from their sins. And they would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So they decided to wait to the morrow to go again straight away. They would not wait till tomorrow to go straight ahead to see what had happened. Well, meanwhile in the east there were three wise men and they were very well educated. In fact, many people said they were real smarties. They used to study all the stars of the galaxy, the Milky Way, and one night they were looking up in the sky and they thought they saw a star, but it was actually Mars. Well, from their study, they thought this very bright star must be the promised star that would shine over where the promised king would be born. So they got on their camels and they travelled many rocky roads and they got to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, they found where Jesus was and they knelt before him and they worshipped him out of their bounty. They gave Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Well, that night the three wise men had a dream. And in it, an angel told them that King Herod was about to play some dirty twits. And they should go home without telling them that they had found God's promised king. Well, Herod wanted to hurt him, but he would be okay. He was God's own son. Well, the angel also appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt to keep them safe. So you could see, Christmas is more than Santa, reindeer, and snowflakes. It's more than having lots and lots of food to eat and presents to open. In organising food and drinks and presents and Christmas trees, rushing here and going there, we can get ourselves into quite a twirl. But we need to actually take time out this day and remember that the best thing about Christmas is Jesus, for his peace is richer, his love is sweeter, and his grace is smoother than all the chocolate in the world. That's a great story, isn't it? Very good.